Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Squibbits to you, baby. Squibbits. I'm talking love. That is
Squibbits.
I'm talking Squibbits. Okay, you better know your history.
Know your history. Okay,
my
first white woman invited to the cookout, Miss Tina Marie. Which all
Tina Marie invented the cookout. You know that?
She invented the pass to the cookout now. Okay, and that almost ended up being my name. If had my mother had her way, but she let my father name me, and here is Jocelyn today.
Oh, look at little Tina! But imagine your name being Tina. I can't even see that. But
Tina Marie Johnson. Where is that?
I think little Tina Marie. We gotta get you get Leo a little sister. Name her Tina Marie Schroeder.
Oh yeah, the name will come into existence. So one way
the name's not done.
The name will come. Okay. So, best friend, how are you feeling today?
I am good. It is November, guys. Daylight savings is a mother. Shut your mouth. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be delayed the first couple of days.
Really?
Because it gets dark. Yeah, but it gets dark at like 4.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's 6 o'clock right now in New York City, and it looks like midnight. So, I'm just...
Yeah,
it's
time to go to sleep.
Yeah, so now it's like, yeah, okay, after this, I know my bed gonna be like, girl, come crawl inside.
Yeah, pretty much we go to bed earlier during the winter season because the sun tells us to. So it is what it is.
How is California for you right now?
Yeah, it's going. I mean, I've been going to bed earlier too. I'm not even gonna hold you, but I have enjoyed that hour because now I at least... I'm waking up. I was waking up late. I started waking up later, like at 7 a.m. But because the sun wasn't up, right? Like the sun usually is up by 6 a.m., but the sun is not up. So if I'm waking up at 6 and the sun's not up, I just will stay in the bed. And now with the time going back, now the sun is actually up at 6 a.m. So I'm actually waking up.
Oh, so you wake up ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be ready right at 6 a.m. because technically it's like 7.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning.
Squibbits. Hey, that's our remix.
I'm always singing the song. I think I
should
have been a
now I have to be honest because I have literally been in my Harry Potter bag. I don't know what spawned this. I was just sifting through HBO Max and Tanea knows I love Harry Potter and I haven't watched the films in a while and just something just sparked it in me. And I just went to one. After one was done, I was like, okay, 2, 3. I am now up to Order of the Phoenix Part 5. And as soon as we are done with this interview, I'm going to go finish it. Like I am literally back invested into Harry Potter. It's like, I love him so much. I love that story. It was such a great story. I would love if J.K. Rowling gave us a update because you know the story got dark. Tanea never watched them or read them.
I don't know what she's talking about, but yes, it got very dark, guys. Very dark.
Okay, but it got really dark only because she had to tell the story, right? She had to tell Harry's story and his beef with Voldemort. So if you start from the first movie even to the last one, it just gets darker and darker and darker until Harry and Voldemort face off in the final one, the Half-Blood Prince. So now we all know the end, right? No, it's not a spoiler alert. Voldemort dies. But at this point, it's like, can we catch up on Harry as he's living his happy wizardly life with his wife?
Yeah, maybe he's a dad and like his child's
and
a wizard.
Like raising his children. And who knows? Maybe Voldemort had a baby.
It's like an easy spawn.
The baby wants vengeance for his faja.
I need to call the new director. Listen. Tina Marie Johnson, because she has the idea.
Listen, okay? But that's just my backup for when I'm not actually watching my TV shows. And so with that, let's get into our weekly grab. best right. friend. What you got? What you got?
So first on my list is a beautiful new show on Hulu called Black Cake that our Auntie Oprah executive produced. It is basically about a brother and sister who are very estranged. The father's passed and their mother has an accident and she passed. The brother and sister are estranged, and then she gets a lawyer and records like 7 recordings of her life. She acts that they sit together and she writes a note and says that there's black cake in the fridge. But in the actual black cake, there's like USBs of her recordings. So we're only up to the first 3 episodes, but every episode she basically is telling her kids, like, just imagine your mom's gone and she's like, you remember everything I said? None of that was true. There's people I need you to look for. There's people I need you to see. And then you see this beautiful story of her growing up in the islands, half black and half Chinese, and the discrimination and love and money. And just, it's such a good story. It gives very like Queen Sugar mixed with a little, I don't want to say scandal. It's giving Oprah. It's giving, she knows what she's doing when she's executive producing it.
She loves to tell a beautiful black story thoroughly.
It's so beautiful. And I personally like that I don't know any of the actors like per se. None of them look familiar. So it gives like a very raw, fresh feeling. So if you're looking for something good, dramatic, Black Cake on Hulu.
I did think it was a cooking show when you first
I know she said it's a cooking show. I said no.
Now check this. When we promoted last week's show, 2 people hit me up, my mother included, saying they also love the British Baking Show.
Yes, it's our show.
And the other being Lisa from high school.
Oh my gosh, look at us guys, our fan base.
Funny. So Tanea, you are not alone in your love for the British Bake Off.
We love the British Bake Off.
That's so funny. Okay, so Black Cake is not a baking show. It is an Oprah produced amazing show that reminds people that we are not a monolith. And we have plenty of stories to tell. And it actually sounds like something I would like to watch. And you so I'll be watching it. I will be watching it. Thanks to my best friend who shares her Hulu with me. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so first on my weekly grab is a scripted series, not a reality series.
Yes.
Okay, so I was, I think they found me, you know, I think they know. I saw an ad on Twitter for The Gilded Age season 2. And I was like, well, for The Gilded Age, I was like, did season 2 come out? Because I, Paul and Anthony, those are our friends, guys. Put me onto The Gilded Age for whatever reason. They knew I would like it. I started watching it. So I liked season 1. So I've been waiting anxiously for season 2. And season 2 is Among Us. Mm. It just premiered last week on HBO. And it basically follows the era, The Gilded Age. And so season 2 is picking up where season 1 left off. So we are seeing the continuation of people striving for more power of this time, because that's what the Gilded Age was all about, right? Like, it was the Industrial Revolution in America, and the primary people that were kind of leading this revolution, they were all based in New York, you know, like all these people that own the railroad companies and such. And so they're just flaunting their wealth. Just literally flaunting their wealth while living in
Midtown. Money everywhere.
Money everywhere. Horse and cabbages everywhere.
You can't afford this.
Oh, you can't. Okay, so season 2 follows the birth of the Metropolitan Opera House. Oh. Unions, rail union workers. It continues the elitism that you know, made the Gilded Age the Gilded Age. But can we just take a second to highlight the fashion? Like, the costumes are so much even top tiered than season 1. You could tell these designers are just like having so much fun making these costumes. My biggest concern is like, what are they doing after this, after they shoot the episode? Because it's like, I want that dress. I don't care that it's 2023. I will wear that dress.
Oh, no, they all have like a wardrobe department. And because it's like a time period piece, most of those shows like keep them forever and they recycle them like between that and like the Netflix show. So they don't sell those dresses, whatever they wear. I do know they have some sort of like department.
Oh, they're maybe so nice. Print it.
Yes. And
so we're also seeing the emergence of a lot of new love stories. Mm. You're also seeing women kind of secretly advocate for their liberation, but like, you see, women have no rights. So if you're married, you ask the husband. If you're not married, you have to ask your parents, particularly your father. for permission, or if somebody's trying to come to you for a proposition, they have to go to the man. But you're seeing the women when they're speaking among each other, like they want to have these rights, like they want to have this power over themselves, but they just don't. Mm. And, you know, but it was the time. But it's interesting to see. And it really just brings you back to the late 1800s in New York City. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season. You know, it's, of course, predominantly white, but even the lens that they give us of the one black story that they give us, it's
real, because it usually was only one or two back then.
Exactly.
And they barely had anyone who knew their story. So now they have to, like,
and then you're
have it told through such a closed-minded lens, because only one or two.
Exactly. And you're even seeing how, because of how educated she is, that's why she's able to get respect amongst these white spaces, but then leave it up to the family she works for, their head nanny, who wants to treat her like shit. When it's like, woman, you're a peasant. Like, you work for this elite woman who threatened to fire you if you're not nice to this black woman, Mrs. Scott. Mm. So it's really good. It's like really good dynamics to see on top of the fashion. So shout out to The Gilded Age season 2. I'm here for it. Yeah.
The Gilded Age. It sounds like you should say it like that.
Gilded Age. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Gilded Age.
Literally how you should say it. Yes. Because I just feel like that's how they were talking. I'm sure that's how they were talking. So what's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab is another one of my good old documentaries based on a very true but weird as hell story. It's called The Imposter. It's about a family in the 90s who the mom got mad at the son and told the son to, like, walk home instead of giving him a ride. He was like 11 or 12. It was in, like, Ohio or something. The son never returns. I think 4 years later, they get a call from the FBI that says someone is saying they're your son. They're in Spain. They want to come back and they want to, like, see you. The sister goes and meets the guy, or the boy. He's 14, 15, very quiet. They had a 24-year-old man bleach his hair. Not they. He acted like this 14-year-old boy and got away with it for 3 years.
Wait.
Now the older brother, he went to the FBI. He didn't have an ID. He said, my name is such and such. I'm the lost boy from
that
Texas.
They had a missing sibling or whatever.
What happened was he just called the FBI and was like, do you have a missing boy in America? Because he was in France. And he was like, I just knew I didn't want to be here. I wanted to be somebody else. So they kept describing boys and they faxed him over and, like, the
Oh my God.
What year? It was just so insane, but it was so real, because he called the cops as himself saying, hey, I'm with my wife, we're tourists. There's a little boy, like, at the phone stop. That was him calling about him. So he pretended to be the little boy. He was a little short guy, but his facial features clearly showed he was a man. So he lied to them. He said that he was kidnapped. He wouldn't talk. And then once they tried to help him get back to America, he found some way to lie and just said, oh, this is who I am. Because he saw, like, a picture of a little boy. When he got to America, he realized him and the little boy looked nothing alike. But the family still took him in and was telling everybody he came back. He was on the news and everything. But it was one family member who knew it wasn't him. They think he really killed the little brother, but he killed himself ultimately. But this man, for 3 years, was 23 years old and went around his family acting like this 16-year-old little boy.
Oh, my God.
And had them fooled. Like, oh, remember this? Remember this? Mind you, he had a French accent.
Oh, my God. And we still don't know where that, and the little boy really
No, they never found the little boy's remains. The lead suspect was his older brother, and he unfortunately passed away by overdose. The mom passed the lie detector test, so they never know what happened to the little boy, never found his remains. But they sent the guy back to France. Some other stuff happened. If you want to watch it, I don't want to give it away.
But I don't think I'm gonna watch this. It sounds so ridiculous.
Girl, it's just like, you really think, like, how could you not know your long lost sibling forever? And the sister really fell for him and was like, oh no, he's just quiet. He went in the news and all these interviews and was a 24-year-old French man acting like a 15-year-old blonde white boy. Bleached his hair blonde. And they was like, this is it. And it took a private investigator, like, y'all, this is not.
Oh my God.
It took a couple minutes, and there were major red flags, but it really took the private investigator, like, looking at an interview, looking at the picture and the guy, and he was looking at it like, I really think this is the same person. Come on now. But if you want to laugh, but also like a what the fuck, right. The imposter. It's free, so on Tubi. What's last on your weekly grab?
Well, last on my weekly grab is Gen V. The season finale was everything. And the perfect transition into The Boys, which I can't wait till that comes. But the finale was super explosive. First of all, the episode's only 38 minutes. It's the shortest episode of the season. And I love it. I wish more shows would do that instead of just filling it with fluff and long, unnecessary conversation. It was just, it picked up right where episode 7 left off. So it just starts off extremely explosive. There's tons of fighting. They do give a disclaimer because there's a lot of violence on the school campus that it's kind of reminiscent of like a mass shooting out of school.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at this, we're talking about, you know, people with superpowers and stuff. So it's just different kinds of fighting. There's really no guns, but it's just, yeah, a lot of gore. We get special appearances from, guest appearances from the Homelander. And if you wait till the end, like watch a little of the credits go up, then we see a special, another guest appearance from Billy Butcher. And ultimately, it's just a reminder that you cannot trust Vought. That is the company or slash government that they actually kind of represent our government, you know, like the government is just behind everything. And even when they act like they're trying to work for you, they're always working against you. They're always just working for their greater good. But it's such a great show. I already mentioned that it got, you know, greenlit for season 2 because it's really, really good. And I'm so excited because now I have a new show that I love, and it just spins off of The Boys because I love The Boys. So it's giving you everything that you like from The Boys. And now we got Gen V, which is the younger generation. And so now we'll be able to kind of go back and forth. Like when one show ends, we'll have another one to get our fix.
Now, do you know if The Boys, when it starts again? Or no?
Let's see. The Boys new season. Cause no, I don't think.
I said I might try to get into that because I started it but didn't finish it.
I think you should. When is it coming? No, they haven't announced the official release date for season 4. So you have time to catch up. There's seasons 1 through 3 on Amazon Prime. And it's really good. Like it's not scary. I know Tanea doesn't like scary. It's not scary. It's just like,
it's like action.
Yes, it's just action packed. And it's like literally like sick, twisted The Avengers. Like if The Avengers smoked marijuana and did a little cocaine.
Oh my God.
That's what The Boys is. Like literally.
If The Avengers did a little cocaine.
Like literally a lot of cocaine. Actually, I'm lying. A lot of cocaine with a lot of sex. You're seeing the penises.
Oh my gosh.
You're seeing the breasts. It's literally sick, twisted, and contradicted, like Beyonce says. It's like, it's all of that, but it's so entertaining. Like, I guarantee you, just go to season 1, episode 1, and you're going to be hooked. Like, after just watching season 1, episode 1, you're like, okay, no, I got to watch episode 2 now. Because I had started it, and I was watching it by myself, and then once I played the first episode for Mark, then he got into it. And, like, everybody does, because it's a really good show. It's a really good
show. The Boys.
It's also it's based on a comic book, like, you know, like all the other Marvels and Avengers and stuff like that. It's just a sick, twisted ass comic book. So yeah, I think you'll like it.
It sounds fun. I'll give it a
yeah, it's fun. It's
weekend
fun.
Watch.
So now let's get into our hot topics.
Sizzle.
We're bringing this segment back because, of course, it was just BravoCon weekend. We experienced BravoCon in person last year. We took a break this year, but it was good. I actually truly enjoyed taking it in on Twitter.
Yes, I actually love that. I don't think this time last year I was on TikTok. Like, so I basically saw everything I needed to see.
Yeah, pretty much. Bryn's shoes got caught in the escalator, broke the escalator. That was like the best part to me was Bryn's shoe getting stuck in the damn escalator,
having its own moment, and just literally the girls like within it all. I thought they handled their first one really well. I also liked the look of all of the girls overall, like all of the housewives. Like there wasn't one housewife that didn't have it together. For me,
I mean, they could have done better. Like, but of
certain
course,
ones,
talking about Giselle, of course. Definitely when they had the Potomac one, and we'll get into Potomac later, but just the way they were seated during their panel, it all of the better dressed ones were on one side, and Giselle, Robin, and Ashley were on the other side. And I was like, oh, that fits. Because Giselle, when Giselle had on one dress, it was like a nude colored latex. Like, it was just like, what? You're like, that color doesn't compliment you. Like, you're a lighter skinned woman. Like, you need, you always kind of need something to offset the light. You don't wear light with light. Like, what the hell? So she, but I would say the fashion misses were not the housewives. It was actually Paige from Summer House. She looked a hot ass mess. She literally got it the most. I know she knows. She's going to have to play it off. But it's like, girl, you were just not the fashion girl you thought you were. Because Erin from Roni did a similar look and crushed it. Like, this new trend going on in New York, despite it being cold, women are just wearing panties with a blouse.
Not black women. I haven't seen any of us wear it, but okay.
And you know what? I don't want to see black women do it.
Exactly. It's cold.
It's cold, but it did look nice on Erin. And it's like, I don't mind seeing black women do it, but I don't want to see the BBL black one. Like, if you got that big booty BBL look, this is just not for you. And I think those are going to be the next ones. Like, I'm going to do the panties. And it's like, you're just going to look so tacky. But Erin looked tasteful. She had the high-waisted black latex panties on with the white blouse and black pumps. It just looked very tasteful. Then skip to Paige. This girl had on low-rise pink bedazzled panties like she's Britney Spears with a white blouse. But it just looked frumpy. It looks stupid. And then
I just didn't get it. It's just, why would you wear that? It wasn't even the club. It was on the red carpet. Now, if she was at the club, okay. You're just walking around in pink panties.
If she was at the club on Halloween, okay.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of the strip. It's Vegas, whatever.
It was, but yeah, I get that. That could work, but it was just like, it wasn't, she, first of all, I was like, why are you doing low rise? You should have did high rise. Like, I feel like as a fashion girly, you would have known that, but that's why it's just proof that you're not a fashion girly. The other worst dress was Katie Maloney, but she's always worst dressed. However, she did reveal at BravoCon that she has a stylist. And it's like, I cannot believe you pay someone to dress you so bad.
It's probably her little cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. But also what I got from BravoCon is definitely Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's time for some change. They all agreed.
I think somebody said that they might go to Miami route and just not come back for a while and just take longer. I think they're going to take like a couple seasons. I think it's going to be like 2 years.
That's not something you could force. I mean, you can't see that, right? Like, you have to find who's going to mesh. Are they going to reboot the entire cast? Are they only going to keep just certain people and bring on a slew of new faces? Regardless of whatever they're going to do, they got to take their time. Mm-hmm. So I think we probably won't be seeing Roa next year or the year after. We don't know. They could take like a little 2-year hiatus like they did with Roni. But as we now are seeing, Roni worked. Roni had a lot of people went to that Real Housewives of New York panel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing, like, despite mixed reviews on social media, people like the show. I said I like the show. Like, I like this new cast, and I think they're showing a lot of potential. So I'm here for it. I did see the trailer for this Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Roni Legacy. And I have to say, this is going to be the first girls trip that I'm going to skip. I'm just not interested. One, you could put racist Ramona aside, right? Because this is now coming out after we already know that Ramona is racist. I have no interest in seeing a cast of all white women, old all white women, be horny and drunk and flirt with men. It's just lame to me. Mm. It's also possibly why Roni never stuck. Like, I didn't even really start watching it until Ebony season. I just could never really get into it. And granted, I watched the early seasons of Beverly Hills. They were all white too, but at least there was just some substance there. I never was getting anything from the New York cast at all. It never captured me. So now to just see them kind of reconvene without loudmouth Bethany, I was bored.
Carol was my favorite. Carol was around season four or five. No. Carol left, but she was the first person. Her and Bethany started off really, really close. And then she started to see through Bethany and started reading her for filth. So Carol, once Carol left, I kind of let it go. Carol was funny. She was cute. I think her ex-husband died. It was like JFK's cousin or uncle or something. But she was the only like person. Four. Yeah, like season 4 to like season 9, 10. And the last season, her and Bethany like went from BFFs to like, she's like, Bethany, you're fake as hell. I don't want to be your friend. So, okay. I understand what you're saying also. Like, it's just not, you don't align with it. So why would you want to watch it? It's not going to entertain you.
Not at all. Not one bit. Yeah. So, and then I was looking forward to this Morocco one. And now they're saying they might can that because of
the allegations
and the thing. And here's the thing too, because Brandy has always been a hot mess, right? Like, they probably always knew that Ramona was a bit racist, but you're overlooking it. You're overlooking it. You're overlooking it until it becomes a big problem. And now it screws you in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I hope they are learning from their mistakes, because Brandy should have been from the, first of all, we could go back to her scenes at the Beverly Hills when she's saying racist stuff to Joyce, right? Oh, you can't swim. You're a Black person. Shit like that she was saying on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was on season 2 of Girls Trip when they were at Bluestone Manor. That guy that was working there is claiming sexual assault because she was all up over him. Why would you bring her back again? She's a loose cannon. You don't know what you're going to get, especially when she's under the influence and she has substance abuse problems. Why'd you bring her back? So now she keeps pushing it to the limit, because it's like, you done kept letting her get away with stuff to the point where now she came on to damn Caroline Manzo. And now y'all got a lawsuit on your hands. Like, it's just like, guys, like, when are you going to learn to stop pacifying bad behavior?
They're going to learn it soon, because the one thing that both things are going to teach them, like Roni Legacy, is like, i.e. RuPaul's Drag Race. It's just the fact that, you know how much money they're going to have to spend if they have to cut the whole season, if they have to cut the cost and all of that. It's going to be expensive.
You already done flew all these women out to Morocco, filmed the show, have to pay the production company, all of that, just for it to can it? That's so crazy.
And once they see that it take, and then think about all the times they're going to have to cut Ramona out because people are not really feeling her and they're going to have to edit her out as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I could tell from the preview that they probably cut down her camera time as much as they could. Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to hurt them. And I feel like coming soon, they're going to learn, like, okay, let's just cut ties. They keep getting more housewives, so you don't have to keep going back to the old problematic ones. Yeah. That was my whole input. Like, we keep growing the people. Like, we don't need to keep going back to them.
No, like, we, first of all, y'all were already having a good thing by with the mix of housewives. Just because y'all rebooted Roni, it didn't mean like, oh, let's do a season with, I mean, I felt like that was going to be a backup season. They probably were going to focus on the Morocco season, but they wasn't expecting what happened to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hot mess. But any other takes from BravoCon, best friend?
No, it looked great. I didn't miss anything. People had good questions. I really liked Andy's response to the question about Nene. It makes so much sense now. He's just like, look, she said, don't say her name. I'm not saying nothing.
He seems that's sad. It. And honestly, I always have felt like Nene really did kind of burn that bridge. Granted, I'm not going to put off the blame on Bravo.
He's not saying he's perfect or the company is perfect, exactly. But she could have handled it a lot differently.
A lot different. I think if she handled it differently, it would have ended up differently, right?
Yeah.
She would probably be back on the show right now, or even at least working with them. Even, girl, like, she didn't see none of this coming, girl. You had no idea BravoCon was coming. You had no idea Ultimate Girls Trip was coming. Like, there was
she would have killed. She could have had her own spin-off.
She would have ended up with her own thing. They would have had her probably hosting things.
Nene, like, on Traitors. Are you kidding me?
Yes. So it's like Nene really just burnt that bridge so badly by calling people racist. Not even that. It was the boycott Bravo thing. That's when she went too far, because it's like, now you're saying boycott. Now, you know, we're seeing Bethany Frankel do it too, and it's like, girl, you are done. You are done.
So, nobody cares.
Nobody cares about Bethany.
It's like, we don't anymore about those two. All right.
No. So now let's get into let's get into our piss poor. Poor. So
we're breaking ground today, people. This is a first.
This is a first
of our show.
We Watch Too Much TV history, where we actually have the same piss poor, and it wasn't on purpose. It actually, I had mine written down Tanaya had hers written down, and it actually ends up being the same person. So, best friend, tell them who it is.
Miss Tisha from Miss Married to Medicine season 10. You got to step up to the congregation, please. Mm. You look very thirsty. Extremely thirsty, and also in denial about the situation that you have come into. And let me say why. Mm-hmm. Not only are you on a show that you basically found your man from being on the show, mm-hmm. you would not have known who Dr. G was had you not been a Married to Medicine fan. So you're already showing that you're a fan. Mm-hmm. Hit him up trying to lure him, saying you got what he wants. Then you can't complain about the house being quad and people mentioning quad. That's how people know him from quad. Quad is still that bitch, if I do say so myself.
Okay.
But for you to fix your mouth and say the first thing you thought about when you like met him or moved in with him was get to the money. Mm. Girl, you making my blood boil. Something about her energy.
I think she basically said it, right? So one, you're coming in as a newbie. You're also coming in as the second wife to someone that we met with the first wife, and we're all still cool with the first wife. You're in the same house as the first wife. Only just added little minor touches, little minor tacky touches. Mm. And now you're trying to make us forget about the first wife and make it all about you. But now at the same time, you're the newbie. We are going to be critical. We are asking questions, i.e. Dr. Heavenly, who is the
mess. Hello, who we love. Yo, she is so messy.
But she makes the show. And it's like, you just can't. She makes the show. So Dr. Heavenly asks her, what's the best part about being engaged? Like, engaged, who would even think about the money, right? Like, you're gonna say like, oh, like wedding,
the party planning, something,
us just working together to plan the wedding, or us preparing for the future. No, this girl out of nowhere in front of her own twin sister says the access to the money. And she says it as if like people gonna laugh. Nobody's laughing. It was cricket silence.
Everybody faith, because even if that's what you think,
yes,
Why would you say that?
Like, who would say that? Who would say that? And even Phaedra was like, my gold dinger thing is dinging. Because it's like, girl, Dr. Heavenly said, she said, Quad was a gold digger. This girl's a copper digger.
She don't got no gold.
She's like, she ain't even digging for gold. But here's the thing. Dr. G is choosing women based on his penis. So he's always going to continue to find a gold digger. He said it straight up and down. He fell in love with her because of that dress. She admitted they met because she slid into his DMs talking about, I can give you what you need, and put a baby emoji in it. Like, how thirsty. And this is what I want to tell these ladies out here. Keep your men close and fight for what's yours. Because as soon as y'all, like women, some women aren't even waiting for y'all to be done, by the way. But women are waiting to just find out that y'all are done so they could pounce all up over that. Okay. And this is exhibit A with Letitia. She is a gold digger. Like, she's not faking it. She's not denying it. But also at the same time, Dr. G isn't denying that he really kind of only got with her to satisfy a certain need. He's still Dr. G, right? We got to see highlights of what's to come. He's a hot mess.
A hot mess. For him to be a psychiatrist.
I can't believe he's a psychiatrist. I can understand just like a general primary doctor. So,
girl, he's the person that's supposed to be helping people with their mental health.
I know. And him. He's like, honestly, now we're seeing with the second wife, like Dr. G is a pig. He is a pig. He is disgusting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's to come of this relationship, because it just already the red flags are saying it's not looking good.
I can't wait for that prenup, because you know.
But I'm here for it.
I'm going to have them sign that prenup. I want that episode to come.
This definitely is what they needed. The season has been reignited. The show has been reignited for season 10. I'm so excited. We even see Quad is going to show up at the girls' bachelorette party.
Lord, I can't wait. That is some shady mother.
Lord, that is such a
good too. Like, hey, y'all looking good. At least you look good. That's what I would say to Quad. Like, at least you got it like that. Like, oh, you going to bring this girl around? Well, bring her around to me.
I'm coming. I'm here for it. I love this. I love this new show. Somebody said an idea on Twitter, like, if Quad really wanted to enter her villain era, she would make up with Mariah Huck and come and just tear it up on the show. And I would love to see that. I hands down would love to see our soror Mariah come back on the show that she created and stake her claim and just help Quad shut everybody down. But it, of course, would take a lot for Quad and Mariah to get to that place because they have a lot of unfinished business.
Do you need the receipts? Because I got the receipts. Every time I hear that, I think of Mariah.
Yes. And with the sidewalk. With the sidewalk.
Okay. With the hair to the left.
Yes.
Receipts.
Oh my gosh, I love this show, and I'm so
proud to you, Mariah. Well, yeah, Tisha, but you piss poor. We don't like.
No, that. She's piss poor. Tisha and Dr. G, we putting y'all as the piss poor.
And your twin, because the twin got loud, and it's like, I don't know you like that.
Loud, like you're in her house. No, you're not. You're in Dr. G's house, and you in Quad's old house. Y'all need to take that back to Texas.
She don't pay not a bill.
Not a bill. We don't even know what she does. At least even when Quad started, she was saying she was helping working with like medical stuff. So
yeah.
This girl didn't announce no type of profession.
So she's getting to the money.
Basically Toya part two. And not denying that she's with this man for his money. Goodness gracious, God almighty. I'm here to watch this hot mess of what's going to be. Because I love it. This is why I love reality television. So let's get into who we're actually rooting for with our yes segment. So who you got, best friend?
Which is not the same for this one. So just really quickly, I want to give the biggest shout out to my Black Canadian brother, Caleb, from Survivor 45. Mm-hmm. I told y'all I'm just like newly found in the show after 20 plus years. I'm very into this season. Basically, he broke Survivor history. They were hating on him because he's a really good social player. He knows how to play the game. He's a good asset. So everybody's like, get him the hell out. But he had this little thing called shot in the dark that if everybody voted for you and your shot in the dark said you were safe, none of your votes count. So he had a last minute thing. He was like, I'm going to try this. If this works, I'm going to play the lottery. He was safe. And he went from going home to a unanimous 10-0 vote to being 100% safe. And the girl who wanted to get him voted home, going home. So you just don't be knowing in life. And I'm just learning that sometimes life be lifing. But I just was proud of him for like his. You could see all the white people like, oh, no. He's staying. And he's like, yeah. So shout out to you, Caleb. I'm rooting for you. I hope you win. And shot in the dark. I don't know. I'm thinking about going on Survivor, but I'd be hungry. So I can't do that. Okay. And so
like,
who's your...
Do you need to like swim and stuff?
Yeah, but I'm learning.
I don't think you need to go on Survivor, best friend.
I'm learning. I'm growing. No. I'm swimming. It's more like a lot of games and puzzles and things like that.
Okay.
But it's a really good show. But I just want to give him my yes because it was just such an epic episode. Like watching one like that. Who's on your yes this week?
Well, I have one and a shout out. So I want to give a shout out to the founder of the 1256 movement in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Y'all know I've been watching Rebuilding Black Wall Street, like a renovation show that's helping to rebuild the damage that is over 100 years in the making after the 1921 race massacre. And so the owner of the 1256 movement is actually a white man who started the initiative to promote home building for Black families in Tulsa as a reparation for the destruction of the 1,256 homes in Greenwood that were destroyed during the massacre, in that one day of the massacre. And so, you know, the story where just a white, angry white mob goes in and killed and just destroyed so much. And so they set the town on fire to destroy the evidence of what they did. So it's just, you know, over 100 years later, they're still trying to rebuild because the government has never even supported funding for, you know, they gave funding to the white businesses that were destroyed in the race massacre, but they never gave funding for the rebuilding of the Black businesses and the homes that were destroyed. So it's still a really good show to watch because you're even seeing the descendants of the Tulsa massacre, you know, kind of carry on the family's legacy. But to see a white man helping to lead that fight. And it also shows there are different forms of reparations. You know, when we talk about reparations, of course, this country still doesn't want to give us our just due of 40 acres and a mule and what that would be in 2023. But there are so many other ways that they could give reparations to the Black Americans who were greatly harmed by the horrors of slavery and even just racism and the continued systemic oppression that continued after slavery was abolished. So shout out to the 1256 movement. And then my special shout out I just want to give is to Kiki on Love and Marriage Huntsville, because she actually did take that drug test, y'all, and it came back positive. Kiki is not on drugs, so Marcel could shut the F up.
Forever.
And if he would, it would be great if he would at least take a lie detector test, but we know that's not going to happen.
Well, can you apologize for doing that to that woman? Because
I'm starting to see correlations between Letitia on Love and Marriage Huntsville and Robin on Potomac. But at the same time, I just don't know if Tisha has been given as much evidence as Robin. So I'll still give her a little bit more credit than, and at the end of the day, ain't been no divorce and remarrying and none of that. And just,
kids.
Like Marceau is still playing the role of a husband, a loyal husband or whatever, but you could just still see like just signs and inklings that he ain't as loyal as he claimed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's being low about it, but we all know he ain't that low. But
but at least it's way more respectful than what we're getting from the Juan Dixon, which on that note, let's get into our deep dive. So The Real Housewives of Potomac season 8 is among us. What are your thoughts, best friend?
So overall, I just really like how they lined up the BravoCon with the season 8. I thought it was a great like lead-in. I think it was a great kind of look into what the season is going to be. I am first, just which is never going to come out of my mouth like a lot, but like Giselle, I was really proud of that conversation she had with BFF.
Yep.
I know that took a lot out of Giselle, because she literally the week before was all team pay-per-view or whatever. Let's all team this, that, and the third. But I think she realized that stuff started coming out. And to my point, I do love the people that she got in that corner. Yeah. All three women who were humiliated publicly by cheating scandals. Most something definitely. That nobody else in the crew could say. I think that Robin didn't even look at that. That these women are not just not like Candace and she trying to be spiteful.
Oh, yeah.
No. These are three women who I text and speak to often, who have all been cheated on publicly. Yep.
Publicly on a
and they're telling me that the math ain't math. And you going to say I took your joy as an American citizen.
Yes. And that's why at this point now we can all see clear as day how delusional this woman is. Like the delusion, collusion, and contusion.
All right, Trump.
No, I got that from Gertie. She said that.
Oh, yes.
Delusion, contusion. Like it was hilarious. So now that's beautiful. My new thing. But like Robin, it's just like, wow. Like you really are choosing to have your blinders on. But also, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know a nicer way to say this. I do think Robin is just not smart. Right. Like we could take it back to how she lost the money and that even the resentment that Juan still has over that. I think now at this point, you know, we're starting to see like something's like off with her, and not to where it's like she's like slow, but I think she's just really a airhead, truly, madly, deeply a airhead. And that makes her a perfect target to be a kept woman who chooses to be. Actually, you're not a kept woman, right? Because it's not even like you're in a situation where he's taking care of you. Y'all are taking care of the household together. And on top of that, he's cheating on you, just like out there to where everybody knows it. I'm seeing it on Twitter where people are like, everybody in the DMV knows that Juan openly cheats, is always with other women. Like everybody knows. It's not even a secret.
I do think she believes what she wants to believe. And I know when it comes to matters of the heart, sometimes you want what you want, even if it doesn't want you, if it doesn't align with you. I feel like Robin is so convinced of the person that he was or probably is as a dad. And I think that she would just rather say that I'm married than like I'm single. And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to choose yourself. And I think that Robin is struggling with choosing herself, because there's no way I'm forgiving you for being the only man that decides to give his credit card information to a woman who's seeing another man who plays for a football team.
And then now we're getting into his coach that he's going on nail salon and laundry. Like that doesn't make any sense. It makes, and it's the fact that she says it as if it makes sense. No, Robin, it doesn't make no goddamn sense. why your husband is going to the nail salon with another woman. I don't care how long they be working together. I have never heard of a man just gladly going to the nail. Does he go to the nail salon with you?
That's what, listen, I was just about to say that.
So why is he going with this woman? And you know what? Karen wasn't lying. She does look like Karen.
She looks The coach.
She looks like a Brianna. She looks like a little Karen Huger. She does. The picture of her is going around social media. I'm like, oh, she does look like Karen. Karen was not lying. Karen was like, look, I was talking about the domestic girlfriend. I wasn't talking about the international one from Canada. It's so many of them. It's too many.
And that's the thing. And then it's just like, okay. Let's say the story is true. To Giselle's point, why is your man not concerned about you enough to just lay the hell low?
Right.
And just say, you know what? It's not right. looking great for me.
Right now.
Right so now, my wife
the needs salon me to in the laundromat with you.
Yes. My wife needs the opposite of what I am doing. And then it's like that lack of his respect for you, since you don't want better. And I just think it's a self, you know, I know I'm in my healing and my growth. I just think it's a self-love thing.
Yeah.
When you know better, you do better. And I don't think Robin knows better. So it's hard for her to do better. This is, sounds like this is all she's known since she was 19. And for her, this might be it for her. And I feel sad. And I just
so sad.
I just
can't be
around. Look, it's just like, all right, women of America, don't be around.
I'm sure he put it down and that's all you know.
Yeah,
putting some real zick out here, girl.
Mm.
You and you are just not. You ain't even got a taste, and you're so pretty. Men would still be flocking to you and really showing you the world, girl. Like taking you out
the
Ritz, like everything, making sure the kids got a nanny to watch them back home, and taking you out to Europe and Africa and seeing the world. Why ain't got no bag like that to do that for you? And he out here girl. Just doing little laundromat dates with younger girls.
You could be having you a Uber type rich white man from Connecticut.
Girl, you don't even know what's out there. But anyways, I am still here for it. I like that she's at least at this point forced to put it out there. And it's like quite the karma after hiding it from last season. So now the season kicks off with everybody, even your own friends getting up in your ass. So I'm here for that. I really do love seeing now this dynamic with Candace and Wendy and Karen coming together. I love them as a trio.
Same.
But I really even just love Candace and Wendy. Like seeing them together at BravoCon, they're just both beautiful, Black, educated women. Both have multiple degrees. Not as many as Wendy, but Candace, at least I believe, has two. And fashionable. They looked just phenomenal together. So well-spoken. Their vernacular is just top tier. And so now that we really see them as a team unit, like at this point, Wendy knows who her friends are and who her friends aren't. I'm really excited to see them do this damage together and bring down those GIBs, because the GIBs don't have it like that, right? Like
they don't.
All the GIBs have is their loyalty to each other, but they can't read. And I'm not saying read like read a book. I'm saying like when it comes to like having these conversations, the shady back and forth. Everybody knows Giselle goes remote silent at reunions when she really gets called out. Same with Robin. They can't go toe-to-toe with somebody that could really come with that vocabulary if we got to bring it back to Monique's book.
Ooh,
book of receipts.
You brought it back.
Okay, because Giselle was just silent. She had nothing to say. So they better tread lightly this season, because if now that Candace and Wendy are really together, and Karen was coming with it, honey, at BravoCon. She was
with the looks, but with the realness, like, girl.
She said, the only together. One who don't make no damn sense is Robin Dixon.
Listen, Wendy said, Robin is delusional.
Yes. So I'm really here for that. But the one thing I'm not here for, and we're looking like we're seeing the beginnings of it next week, what is going to happen between Wendy and this new girl, NECA, which I just... But it's like we already know these production companies are predominantly white. They're now allowing them to tread into a space that is outside of everyone's cultural. Like this is kind of a Nigerian conversation. And I think it's going to start. I think it could really come to bite them in the ass. And we were hoping that this season was a bit more lighthearted compared to all this stuff that happened last year with the colorism and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm also not liking how they continue to make Wendy the scapegoat. So now it's like you're bringing on another Nigerian girl who's going to try to tear down the other Nigerian girl. Like, that's insane. And i.e. the same big forehead keeps bringing in these new friends. And I'm putting up my quotation marks. These new friends who are just coming and being destructive, because we also know there is a big explosive fight coming from Ashley's other friend she introduced. And then now Ashley introduces NECA, who is going to try to talk about Wendy being Osu, which it's not. It's basically a cat. It's classism, right? So Osu.
That's what I was going to say. I hope that that's like.
I really hope they don't.
Genuine do and not something that they said, make this issue so you can have beef. Because I feel like when they hang around each other, it's they natural. Made
it. I think NECA really said it, but they chose to explore that as a storyline. It's like, why would y'all do that? Y'all didn't learn from last season what happened with the colorism. Why would y'all allow this? It shouldn't have been allowed. If they were going to have a little feud as just the between Wendy and the newbie, they could have had it go somewhere else. You shouldn't tie it into their Nigerian culture. I think that's going to come to bite them in the ass, but we'll see. But so far from what it's looking like in the trailer, it's already even springing up these conversations on social media. And I'm like, here they go again. They about to do some shit again. And they don't know what they're doing, because y'all asses in that production company are white, and y'all about to tread it through some waters that you I don't think you're ready for. Nope.
We're going to hope for the best. I do think it was a great season. I actually liked Charisse being there.
Yes.
What I just love overall is that they're not. I remember last season we were just like, Robin got to go. But I'm actually happy she's back, because nobody is going to let her get away with that bull of nothing. No. Nobody's going to let her get away with it. And that's what I love.
Yes. So, I'm here for her coming back. And honestly, like you said about Giselle, I am proud to see her hold her friend accountable, and she did it in such a respectful way. That was like the first time I actually enjoyed seeing the GIBs and Charisse and Ashley, because you know I don't like forehead either. And they all come together to try to get Robin to open her eyes, only for her to choose to keep them closed. I still just enjoyed seeing that. So it's like, okay, this season is just looking a bit refreshing. And I also peeped Mia sitting next to Wendy at the BravoCon panel. And I was like, oh, so it looks like they are kind of on. And if one thing Wendy's going to do, she going to jump shit. Mia.
I'm about to say, Wendy, you mean Mia.
Mia
is going to jump shit. The wind blows her.
Yes. And so seeing Mia possibly jump shit to go be on Team Degrees, I'm kind of here for it, because it's so messy, but I'm like low-key here for it. And we're also seeing Mia. And here's the thing with Mia. You kind of respect her, right? They asked her if she married Gordon for the money. She said, I did.
Joe did.
Like, how can you get mad at her?
Pretty much.
It's like, you know what? If there's anybody, if you can't get mad at somebody who keeps it real. So it's like, you know, fuck it. It is what it is.
And so, I wonder if they're going to show this mystery man. I would like to see.
Oh, her new boo. Yeah.
If he's old and rich too.
Yes. I would like to see that. But ultimately, I'm here for the return of Potomac. I'm here for the return of Married to Medicine. And I'm so far also here for the return of Beverly Hills. It's, you know, they're giving us all the lighthearted drama and banter, but I like it. Even this last episode with Sutton not getting a date and them trying to help her, because she is horrible.
The little baby.
Yes. And then we're seeing sneak peeks of next week, where Giselle kind of tells the group she doesn't trust them around her children after what they did to Jax last season. So I like it. I'm here for all of these new seasons, as well as Salt Lake City, who we saw at BravoCon. Tanae's girl, who I gave her.
You know what, Monica? I don't know what you did, but none of them wanted to be next to you, girl. And I'm rooting for you, but you got to get some healing. You got some trauma that you got to heal with, because none of them like you. Okay. So, like, why was you by yourself, baby?
Yes.
And that makes me sad.
First of all, she's gorgeous. She looks amazing. But I will say, something looked different with her at BravoCon, and somebody said, like, if it's Ozempic or something, I don't know. But I would say, if she is messing with that, stop. Don't do it. You don't need it. Leave it alone. You look great. You're going to start to make yourself look too sucked in and drained. So just leave yourself alone, because she's a gorgeous girl. She's really, really pretty. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think a lot of her mother Because, yeah, you were right. That mother, first of all, the mother's a hot ass mess. That sit-down they had, oh my God, that was hands down. Like, I've never, it's like, I can't, I'm trying to think, but it's like, I've never seen a mother be more disgusting than Monica's mom.
It's like, I don't have that for you. I can't help you.
No, it was crazy. When she said the part about her putting her in the trunk so she could make out with a guy, and she was like,
she's like, I did that once.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I would have smacked the shit out of her. Like, you are a freaking joke, but you can also see she's a like a sociopath. It's like where she can like laugh and then get serious and then eat her food. It's like, she's real sinister. She's definitely-
She kept saying, I thought I had Tylenol. I thought I had aspirin.
Yeah, she's crazy. She's freaking loony. So
housewives are giving it to us. So
I'm giving it. I'm here for it. Thank you.
Making my winters warm.
Yes. All right. So now let's close it out with some positivity.
My quote for today is, you're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think, by A.A. Milne, an author.
Mine's is a mantra. May I release all energies that are less than love. Help free my body, mind, and soul of all that no longer serves my higher purpose. I send back any energies that aren't mine with love. I anchor into myself in the present moment. I am free. I am love.
Ooh, that was beautiful. I am free. I am love. That's going on a post-it on my fridge.
Yep. And on that note, our slogan is
love, abundance, and hair bundles. The good one, y'all. The good one. Right. Have a good week. Words of Tina Marie.
Talking squibbies to your baby. Squibbies. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.